Welcome to On Mission, brought to you by the Catholic Apostolate Center. Today we are joined by Father Frank, Chris, Kate, and Joe as they discuss the 14 Holy Helpers.
As Catholics, a lot of times in our lives, we like to go to different saints that we like to pray to. I know for some of us, this might be our patron saint that we chose at our confirmation, or just different saints that have sort of become our friends over the years that we like to pray to and ask for their intercession in our lives. And today is no different, as many of us are facing what it means to be living in a world impacted by the coronavirus. A lot of us are turning to our friends, the saints, for their intercession and walking with those friends as we navigate what it means to be a Catholic today and a human person today. And so today we've invited our friend and collaborator, Joe Basala, who wrote a wonderful blog post for us about the 14 Holy Helpers, who is a group of saints that the Christians in the times of the Black Plague turned to. And so we wanted to invite you here today, Joe, to just talk a little bit about that, how you found out about these 14 Holy Helpers, who they are, and why we can, again, turn to them today as we navigate what it means to be to go through or to live day to day with the coronavirus.
Thank you, Kate. I'm so excited to be here with you today to discuss this devotion and these 14 Holy Helpers. They're a really fascinating group of saints that were invoked at the beginning of the Black Death, the bubonic plague, when it first hit Europe in about a three-year period. And they indicate how the Christian people at the time reacted. They show the devotion of the people to the saints and the trust in God that these people had during these challenging times. So I'm so excited to be here with all of you and to be able to discuss not only the 14 Holy Helpers and not only the bubonic plague or the Black Death, but also the saints in general and the current health crisis that people are facing nowadays.
So I think the number one question, who are these? Can you just run through, give us a quick, just name the 14 saints?
Yes. So the majority of our listeners probably haven't heard of most of these saints, but I'm sure that you've heard of at least one or two of them. So the 14 Holy Helpers are St. Acacius, who was invoked for headaches, St. Barbara, who was invoked for against fevers and sudden death, St. Blaise, who was invoked against ills of the throat, or I should say is still invoked against illnesses of the throat, St. Catherine of Alexandria, who was invoked against sudden death, St. Christopher, who we may know as the patron of travel. Some of us may have a St. Christopher medal or holy card in our vehicles. He was invoked against sudden death during the plague. St. Cyriacus was invoked against temptations. St. Denis was invoked against headaches. St. Erasmus was invoked against abdominal maladies. St. Eustatius or St. Eustace was invoked against family trouble. St. George was invoked for the protection of domestic animals. St. Giles was invoked against plagues in general, as well as people prayed to him to make a good confession. St. Margaret of Antioch was invoked for safe childbirth. St. Pantaleon was invoked to aid physicians. And St. Vitus was invoked against epilepsy. So those are the 14 Holy Helpers as they were venerated during the Black Death.
So over the centuries and down now to this present day, and we mentioned St. Blaise, and maybe talk a little bit about some of the devotion that's associated with him that many people are probably have heard of or experienced, and even a a special blessing that goes along with that. And then maybe we can get a little bit more into the ones that we don't know, maybe we don't necessarily know as much about or are not necessarily in the liturgical calendar in the same way.
Mm-hmm. So St. Blaise, his feast is February 3rd, which is honestly, I think, perfect timing on the calendar because you're right in the middle of cold and flu season. Many of us know St. Blaise because of the blessing associated with his feast day. All of a sudden, on the feast of this martyr of the early church, right? People are coming to Mass. Churches could potentially be full. It's because they want this blessing. And the tradition is to take two candles, which are blessed on February 2nd, the Feast of Candlemas, the Feast of the Presentation of Our Lord in the Temple, where all the candles are blessed in the church as a reminder of Christ as the light of the nations, as Simeon says when he's presented in the temple, that these two blessed candles from that day are crossed over the throats of the faithful, and a prayer is prayed to that through the intercession of Blaise, of St. Blaise, that they will be protected from all illnesses and diseases of the throat and all other illnesses. And this is repeated for each person coming forth for the blessing. And so for many of us, this is kind of a regular occurrence that every year to get your throat blessed on St. Blaise Day. And of the 14 Holy Helpers, I think he might be the one that has remained most prominent, if you want to say, or at least most popular in terms of the celebration, the liturgical life of the church.
Having given that blessing now every year of my priesthood for the last 25 years, and it is quite a thing that people's devotion coming forward and receiving that blessing. Now, the candles, though, at least in the Latin rite, aren't lit, but I've seen images of the candles actually being lit mm-hmm. while the blessing is being given. Could you talk a little bit about that?
So I've never seen it in person, but I have seen pictures of it before. I think that in certain cases, the candles are lit. I've actually seen special holders made, if you want to call them that, candle holders, candlesticks made for the day, which crosses the candles. But then the candles also have a like a wax catcher underneath them, so that when you were to cross them, and they were crossed wide enough with long enough candles that they weren't anywhere near the person receiving the blessing. That is not the common practice nowadays. Usually they're not lit for safety reasons, such as putting two lit candles in your hair. Yes, that's I've never seen them lit personally, but I have seen pictures of it happening. And like I said, these candle holders for them.
I think what makes the saints so appealing to so many of us is just simply their humanity. We love to hear their stories, to read about their struggles, their hardships. Maybe some of us can relate to some of the same circumstances or struggles that certain saints dealt with, certain virtues that they had to work to perfect or to grow in. And so, today we're turning a lot to praying to the saints as well, because they are this great cloud of witnesses that can pray for us while we're here, while we are still on our journey, hopefully to also joining them and becoming saints ourselves. Joe, why do you think that, the 14 Holy Helpers can help us today? And why do you think that we turn to the saints in our lives?
I think one thing that stands out immediately is 13 of the 14 Holy Helpers were martyrs. They were men and women who suffered and died for the Christian faith. And I think that even today in the church, we look at martyrs, be they martyrs of the early church or martyrs in the modern period under different political regimes, we think of them as extremely tough, extremely powerful people because of what they went through. I think that for the people suffering from the Black Death, to see 13 saints who suffered and died, but didn't do so in vain, they did so for the glory of God, I think that spoke to them. And I think that that strength of martyrdom, that strength of witness that the martyrs carry with them, be they these 13 of the 14 holy helpers, or more modern people such as Maximilian Kolbe or Oscar Romero, who died, the strength that any of the martyrs have are strength for us as well. And so during these times when we might not necessarily know what to do, we might at sometimes feel lost or let confusion rule our minds. We might in some instances feel weak. We allow the saints, and as the people during the Black Death did, those experiencing the plague did, they look to the martyrs for this great strength. And I think that's really beautiful that they did that.
One of the situations that people in a time of plague is that they don't have any control. And there was something about calling on a grouping. So why a grouping? What was the church trying to say by having a grouping of saints?
Right. So I think what is created with a group devotion like this, of course, this devotion wasn't something that was kind of thought up in one instance and presented. It itself was a working devotion, if you will. It changed and saints were added. And most historians believe that actually the devotion was originally centered on Saints Margaret, Barbara, and Catherine, who were the three virgin martyrs of the devotion, and that the other saints were added later as more and more people were suffering and more people had different intentions to pray for. What I think the group devotion reminds us of is that first is the church is a community of prayer. That even in heaven, we call upon a community to pray for us. We hear in Scripture about the great cloud of witnesses. Well, in times of need, we call upon that great cloud. We don't call upon just one member. We call upon the whole cloud of witnesses of heaven to pray for us. And so the 14 holy helpers are kind of a sampling of the intercessors in heaven that we turn to, and people who experienced hardship, people who were known for healing or may have experienced sickness themselves, or people who worked with the sick, we turn to them as a group to remind us that no one is in the journey alone, no one gets to heaven alone, and that the help of all the Christian faithful is needed.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the individual pieces associated with there, just as with St. Blaise, there was the blessing of the throats. Were there particular devotions that were associated with different ones of these saints?
Yes. So each of these saints were in and of themselves popular saints at the time of the Black Death in Europe, and surely they gained popularity as the Black Death spread for its initial three-year pandemic across Europe, and then it kind of comes, it never fully goes away in Europe, pretty much until the 19th century, once medicine advanced to be able to stop it and treat it properly. One of the things, though, is that the patronage of each of these saints is directly related to what people were suffering from, or the effects of the plague itself. So we think about things like illnesses of the throat with St. Blaise. Well, that was a symptom that people were suffering from, or headaches, or abdominal maladies. These are all things that people were suffering from. And I think an important thing to keep in mind is that the Black Death, the plague, worked extremely fast. From the time of contracting the plague to death was at most 8 days. So once you start seeing black spots appear on your skin or purple spots, depending on what type of plague you have, and your glands begin to swell, and you begin to experience fever and chills and pains, there was nothing you could do. There was no clinic you could go to. There was no medication you could get. There was no test you needed to take to prove that you had it. At this point, essentially, from the point of you realizing what you had at most 8 days to live. And that's if you had the lesser form. If you had a more violent form of the plague, you could die within 3 days of recognizing symptoms or less. So the harsh realities of the plague and the medical circumstances at the time directly warrant such a devotion, because not only are you trying to heal yourself, yes, you want a miraculous healing, but with death imminent within days, you want things like your wife to be safe in childbirth with your child. You want to be able to make a good confession before you die. You want to pray for the doctors who are treating you so that they don't spread the disease to other people. Even with, if you look at St. George, protection of domestic animals, that was a source of livelihood at the time. So all of the aspects of the devotion aren't just explicitly medical in terms of healing specific symptoms of the plague. It's the devotion encompasses everything surrounding the plague, be it familial, economic, practical, spiritual. And I think that's what fascinates me so much, is that it incorporates, to the best of its ability, a little bit of every aspect of the plague and what it does to society at the time.
Yeah, I'm really glad you mentioned that, Joe, because that was something that stuck out to me as well, that yes, these saints were invoked against some of these symptoms that people faced during the Black Plague, but also, or during the plague, but also, like you're saying, it encompassed all of their lives in this kind of small microcosm of these saints. I love that it encompassed the position, the physicians, the, like you said, the protection of the domestic animals, family trouble, which would have been, you know, the stress of the situation would have wreaked havoc on family life, on the economic life, on political life, all of which is very similar to what we're facing today. So I love that all of these, this grouping of saints, each saint has their own, you know, area of life that they would have been invoked for. Could you also tell us a little bit about the history of the devotion to the 14 Holy Helpers, maybe where it started and what the tradition tells us about how it started?
Right. So the devotion comes from Germany, in the Rhineland region of Germany, in the middle section along the Rhine River. And it's believed that the devotion comes at the end of the 14th century. So right as the plague was ravishing Europe and kind of course, yes, people are concerned with the direct medical effects of the plague, people who are sick and dying, and what do you do? But then, as of course we're thinking about now with COVID-19, there's almost an aftershock of effects that affect politics and the economy and living situations. And, you know, the list goes on and on about what disease, widespread disease, pandemic affects in society. And so as Europe was dealing with this. The German people began this devotion. Now, there is a pious legend or tradition that a shepherd boy receives this vision of the 14 holy helpers in a field near the German town of Bad Staffelstein. And to this day, that town has a basilica where the 14 holy helpers are still invoked. I would hope that people are invoking them maybe a little more now, even though the churches are closed to the public. But that this is still a site of pilgrimage today that people travel to. And the devotion kind of spreads out from there then. From this German town, people begin accrediting miracles to prayers made at the shrine. And eventually over time, the devotion spreads and different communities outside Germany begin to pick it up. Eventually, it makes it as far as the Pope. A feast is promulgated on the general calendar in the 1500s for the 14 holy helpers. And additional indulgences are attached to praying to the 14 holy helpers. And then the last time that the 14 holy helpers are kind of in a group in terms of the universal celebration of the church was in the general Roman calendar of 1954. And then in the subsequent reforms of that calendar, they've fallen off the universal calendar. But of course, in local places, they've remained. But the interesting thing, too, is that as the devotion spread and went to different places, different communities would add or subtract different saints based on that community. So people might be familiar with Saint Roch or Saint Rocco. A lot of Italian communities added him into the 14 Holy Helpers, and depending on the community, they removed another saint. The interesting thing is the number is always kept at 14, so that when you celebrate the 14 Holy Helpers, you know who you're talking about. But other saints, Saint Nicholas, the Bishop of Myra that we celebrate for generosity every December 6th, he was at times invoked in this group devotion. Saint Sebastian, who's the patron saint of athletes and a early Christian martyr, at times was added. So the devotion historically has had a type of flexibility to it. And for us today, that means something too, that if we have saints that we need to invoke, that we could add them to our grouping of saints that we invoke.
So Joe, could you talk a little bit about maybe what are your thoughts on how these saints can, the 14 holy helpers, how can they help folks now during this time of the coronavirus and COVID-19?
Mm-hmm. I think one of the largest trials that people are experiencing or largest hardships that people are experiencing right now is the idea of lifestyle change. We're now working from home. Even how we grocery shop is different. Really, almost everything that we're doing in our day-to-day life has been different. Many of us are not going into the office anymore. We're working from home. We're having groceries delivered to us. We're celebrating birthdays over FaceTime or Zoom. Students are attending classes through virtual means. We're watching Mass on TV. So there's a large disruption to the normalcy of our lives. And God willing, many of us don't have the virus, but we're surely experiencing the effects. That's the difference, of course, is during the Black Death and the other instances of the bubonic plague that not a lot of people were safe from it. because of how it spread and how deadly it was. But today, what we experience is a change in normalcy. I think what the saints remind us is that at times, sanctity is grown out of very abnormal situations. If you were to read the life of any of the 14 holy helpers or any saint, you would recognize that at times, abnormality of situation gives rise to sanctity. And in these times where things are different, we do things differently, maybe we're at home a lot more, the saints pose the question to us, how are you going to find holiness? The saints show us that holiness in our ordinary lives is extremely possible. And by recognizing that through a change in our lifestyle, we can attain sanctity, the saints stand with us in that journey, and they walk with us on the path to achieving sanctity and eternal union with God. And so I think the idea of having a group devotion, be it the 14 holy helpers, or if you at home want to put together some of your favorite saints, maybe you tape up their holy cards in your home. And we turn to the saints during this time and we ask them, even though our lives are different, even though things have changed, how do we attain sanctity from this situation like you did?
It really gives us a lot to consider. And particularly that, again, we have the connection that we have with those who have gone before us, those who are in purgatory, awaiting their heavenly home, and that we pray for them. But particularly the saints in this conversation who pray for us and who intercede for us. And that's one of the beautiful aspects of Catholicism, our friends, the saints. And so it's been terrific really listening and learning more about the history and the development and how we can apply now the 14 holy helpers in our lives at this time, that of challenge, of difficulty, but also of hope, because they give us, we know that we're not alone. And there are many, many people who are feeling very alone. But as Catholics, we know that we are not alone. We are connected as the body of Christ, and we are connected between heaven and earth. And our friends, the saints, are very much with us, interceding for us, and we need only to ask. And so, Joe, thank you very much for giving us some wonderful thoughts. There is the tremendous blog post that you really bring this out in a beautiful way on our website under our on our COVID-19 resources, and you can go to catholicapostolacenter.org/COVID-19. For those resources. And you can also join us for any of our podcasts that you'll find there, and also on our podcast page or wherever you find your podcasts. And may the charity of Christ urge us on.
Thank you again for listening to On Mission, a podcast brought to you by the Catholic Apostolate Center. Be sure to like, review, and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more information on these and other topics, be sure to visit us online at CatholicApostleCenter.org.